Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Software developers and agents would be particularly interested in today's discussion between John Buchanan, Senior Vice President at Agile Financial Systems, and Mercator's own Director of Merchant Services, Don Apgar, as they discuss the merchant landscape and the evolution away from legacy systems. Conversation opens up with the difficulty of modern software to integrate with legacy systems, moves on to how to demonstrate if a software partnership will work, and finally ends with how to mitigate transition friction for merchants. Without further ado, let's go to the show.
So, John and Don, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here on this episode. And now, John, I want to start off this conversation talking to you about what I kind of call legacy payment processing and what kind of really makes it difficult within the payments ecosystem to really have kind of a more modern software integrations.
Yeah, I guess the main thing would be these legacy systems are often built with the original concept of payment processing in mind. I mean, we're talking about an industry that's been around since the 60s and 70s, and so many of these legacy platforms were kind of kicked off then, right? So, you know, they're often disjointed, extremely limited, even through the replacement of terminals with the onset of EMV. We're still talking about quote unquote dumb terminals, right? Plastic machines with rubber keys on it, extremely limited in terms of the capabilities. You know, at best, I would say they have slightly more modern websites with a shopping cart. So today's solution, it really must be omni-channel. So software developers need to build technology that enables their merchants to meet their consumers where they're ready to transact. So that could be any number of places, right? Obviously, there's the traditional in-person, but even within that, there's additional options. So pay at the table, curbside. You can pay in line, so you want to reduce the line at the checkout. You want to expand your checkout throughout the entire store. Think about Apple stores, right? I mean, their checkout is all over the store. It's wherever the product is that you're buying. Street fairs, online, mobile applications, over the phone. Even for legacy platforms that you can customize to integrate to, there's a lengthy API documentation and process designed on old tech, not to mention a lengthy wait to even begin integration followed by another lengthy and painful certification process. Really, a software developer needs to be able to efficiently create this omni-channel environment for their merchants in a way that's going to consolidate all payment data and create that true omni-channel experience. Those legacy platforms, it's just not possible.
Yeah, that's so true, John. You know, a number of the larger processors, I'm thinking of in particular, you know, when you look at the feature set and gosh, they do everything to support omnichannel, but then you peel back the onion and it's like, well, these features we support on the A platform and these features we support on the B platform and these other features we support on the C platform. And the integrator says, so wait a minute, I have to integrate the three different platforms? That's right. And by the way, the platforms don't talk to each other. So it's one thing to look for the feature set and check all the boxes for omnichannel, but you really got to peel back the onion and make sure that it's not just the, you know, legacy platform with a bunch of flashy collateral around it. You know, it's got to be built for purpose, as you said.
Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of options when it comes to each one of the individual features that you need, right? You could go out there and find those all individually, go through the certification, go through the development process, and then you have multiple channels to support, not to mention, like you said, you know, they just don't communicate on the back end. It's better to centralize all of that data into a single place across all of those different functionalities.
Well, and as a developer, if you get adventurous and you want to do best of breed and go through different companies, different platforms, now you're creating a huge PCI liability and expense.
100%.
Yeah, I certainly think, I mean, fantastic examples there and kind of really walking it through and kind of, you know, better really understanding the overall complexity that's there in the payments ecosystem and couldn't agree more. But I do have to ask, right, because I think once individuals recognize or organizations recognize that they have an issue here and that they're looking to either A, take that internally or look for a software provider, what questions should they be asking, you know, a software provider to make sure that the partnership is going to work from a software perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question. First, I would consider what I want my merchant's experience to look like within my software, right? The customers we're supporting, whether it be on our end or the software developer's end, they're going to enjoy the benefits of who they work with. They'll also, you know, have to deal with any struggles that come with that, right? So I would first ask, what's the boarding process like, right? So are my merchants instantly approved and onboarded to make it that much easier to acquire new customers? Do I get instant API credentials to get my merchant to market faster. So that's obviously important as a software developer. Are there semi-integrated capabilities, right? So what's important there, obviously, I want to be able to leverage existing hardware options so that it keeps me out of the scope of PCI. When it comes to additional payment functionality, split payment's huge. Is that an option? So for example, a good one is DoorDash, right? So they take a percentage of the fee right off the top to pay DoorDash and fund the merchant daily. In fact, there's a lot of critical payment functionalities that are going to be important that I would want to make sure is available, whether I'm a software developer or the merchant considering who I'm going to use. Because, you know, as a software developer, if I'm not able to provide that, they could look elsewhere for my core business, which is my software, right? So recurring billing, the ability to, you know, recharge a card whenever you need to. Inventory management control. Do I have it, you know, if it's purchased online, picked up in store, where does that live in terms of tracking it from an inventory perspective? Be able to see it across stores and whatnot. Profitability reporting, you know, are we pricing things outright? Can I report across multiple stores and multiple products? Count on file. So regular customers that we want to charge various amount for various services, but they're regular and we just want to be able to charge the card when they call in. Mobile wallets, you know, that market's obviously growing. People want to pay in different ways, not only where they want to pay, but how they want to pay. Can I accept those mobile wallets? Tokenization. Really, the list goes on, but the functionality is going to be critical to enhancing the software, which is going to allow the software to go to market faster. And it's also going to provide that added functionality for the merchant themselves to enhance their business. So with all of these options available for integration, a link to a development portal with API docs is great. So obviously speaking from a software development perspective, but software developers are going to need a direct line of communication to work through all the needs of their customers and their software. So a hands-on approach from an implementation perspective is equally as important to make sure that you're leveraging the right functionality and that you're building it in the most efficient way and you have the support to plug that into your system.
Yeah, the biggest mistake that we've seen, John, is, you know, software developers will do a use case analysis and say, okay, well, you know, not everybody needs everything. So if I, as an example, write software for donut shops, yeah, I don't need recurring billing. I don't need some of the card not present stuff. You know, I just need semi-integrated basic functionality. What happens though is that they don't future-proof the system. And you know, we see more and more merchants like a donut shop may start a donut of the month club, you know, with a subscription. And so what happens? Now they need recurring billing. Now they need account updater, you know, and so a lot of software guys have kind of gotten themselves in the box because they looked at today's use case and didn't anticipate what tomorrow's use case would be, you know, and so it's important, you know, even if you don't need the feature, it's important to make sure you connect to a platform that offers it because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, an exact use case in my family, Mondays are the best day of the week for my kids because they literally go on the Crumble Cookies mobile app and order their Crumble cookie delivery to see what the flavors of the week are. That's what they come home to every day. So if you were thinking short-sighted in the bakery world, you would have missed out on a major opportunity there. So even a commodity like cookies, that's a great example there.
That's a perfect example. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree here because, I mean, that is truly spot on. And, Don, I really like the fact that you brought up of kind of, you know, you have to have a bit of a vision for the future here and kind of being able to somewhat read the tea leaves and kind of being able to say, okay, we need to design a system that, yes, is applicable for today, but that can also adapt to the needs of tomorrow because we might not necessarily know what those new business models are that certain organizations are going to come up with, you know, particularly the cookie of the month, which I think is probably better than the jelly of the month club. But I do want to jump in a little bit more to, you know, kind of the merchant side of the equation here. And really this has to kind of do with, I think, in the payments ecosystem world, we kind of call it the rip and replace here. So I'm curious if from your side of things here, John, maybe you can kind of tell me is that are merchants looking for systems that are able to integrate with their current legacy system? Or is it something that they're looking at and saying, hey, look, we have an idea that we're probably going to have to do a bit of ripping and replacing here?
Yeah, I think at times it's going to be inevitable, right, that you're going to have to rip and replace a bit. But when it comes to considering kind of the merchant's perspective from the payment processing side, if I look at this through the lens of a software developer, I'd ask again kind of how the payment processor's capabilities and limitations would impact my merchant's experience, whether that's who they're using now or who they're considering, because it's just as important at times. After all, what we're really trying to accomplish here at its core is move money from the consumer to the merchant, right? And we can add tech to that to make it a better experience. We can add tech to that to help them grow their sales, become more efficient, so on and so forth. But payments processing is going to be important always. So tech is only a part of the equation. Supporting the payments, again, critical.
You know, rip and replace is a real thing. You know, I was at a conference 2 weeks ago talking about replacing acquirer tokens with network tokens, and somebody asked me, "Well, when's a good time to do that?" I mean, you know, that creates a lot of friction when you have to re-tokenize a bunch of credentials, and it's, you know, there's never a good time to rip and replace. I mean, this is from a software example, but you know, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. You know, and at some point you have no choice but to kind of throw in a towel and start over because you just can't iterate your platform anymore to add new features.
Yeah, change is never easy, right? There's going to be rip and replace, whether it's their existing solution or potentially their payment processing, and whether they're staying with their current processor or they're switching to a new processor, the experience that that merchant has on the payment processing side and how that impacts you as a software developer is obviously critical. So I would ask questions like, who controls the sales process? You do have options there. Is there a qualified sales team to take the merchant leads that I refer to them? Obviously, these are my customers. I want to make sure that they're handled with care. Or maybe I want to explore the option of monetizing the payments and maybe even monetizing it more than I would if I was simply referring, and I wanted to take on the processing sales myself. Am I able to do that? Do I have any restrictions that come along with that, right? So whether it's from a pricing perspective, so am I restricted on the pricing options that I make available to my customers? Can I offer flat rate? Can I offer interchange plus? Cash discount, an emerging trend in the industry, obviously. Am I able to offer that? Are there certain floors that I have to operate on? And how does that impact my bottom line? Can I make any kind of commitments to my customers? It's not a mystery in this industry that pricing tends to go up over time. And that does impact me as a software provider who's recommending a payment option for my valued customer. So I could end up feeling the brunt of that if that gets excessive. So do I control whether or not my merchants see an increase in their pricing? Can I opt my customers into something like that if I wanted to increase my revenue? Just options when it comes to pricing is going to impact even the software developers, because ultimately they are providing a certain level of service to those merchants. Speaking of service, support, very critical, obviously, as well. You want to make sure that you're with a true payments provider. The aggregators out there, they have great tech. They do make it easy to integrate. There's no doubt about it, but they're not a true payment processor, right? So funding times become a problem. The support that they can provide from a payment side is a problem. Is who I'm using US-based customer service? Do they outsource it? Obviously, you know, it's going to be a better experience the stronger the support team is.
Those are really good questions. And it makes the point, because, you know, you can get your arms around, if I have to rip and replace, okay. But then the question becomes, well, how do I know if I rip and replace now, how do I know I'm not going to have to do it again 6 months or a year or 18 months from now, right? And those questions that you just outlined are key to making sure, if you're going to go to the expense of rip and replace, right, and all the friction that goes along with it, make sure you're making the right decision so you don't have to suffer through it again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's important you know the right questions to ask so you're not surprised later. After all, your customers' wins are your wins as their software provider, and their losses can be your losses. So you want to make sure that the recommendation you're making is a valued one and pays off. Because like you said, that rip and replace causes friction. You want to make sure it's worth it.
Yeah, and having the right partner is key going through a process and an evaluation like that.
Sure thing.
Yeah, certainly couldn't agree more with the, you know, the finding the correct and the right partnership here, because as you pointed out, just the difficulties of rip and replace and kind of, you know, those friction points. And I mean, throughout the payments ecosystem, that's what we talk about all the time, is removing as much friction as possible. And, you know, kind of the cart abandon rate, I mean, typically this relates to online sales, but that cart abandon rate, that's something that merchants pay a very close attention to and looking to ways to reduce that percentage as much as they possibly can. But I think we've certainly covered off on, you know, kind of what is not possible and really what's kind of difficult within this particular topic here. But I do want to shift gears and talk about really then what's kind of possible with a more agile fintech payment processing partner. So, John, maybe you can kind of give us some of your perspective from Agile Financial Systems.
Absolutely. I love the use of the word agile here. Agility is the cornerstone of everything that we do. We built the Apex platform with an emphasis on our ability to remain agile, creating custom solutions that meets the needs of our software developers and unique solutions for merchants across a multitude of demographics. Customers are shopping in more ways than they ever have before. Merchants need to be ready for that. Traditional in-store payments, buy online, pick up in store, the inventory tracking that goes along with that, e-commerce, mail order, telephone order, mobile wallets, line busting, everything that we've talked about, not to mention instant onboarding through payment facilitation. A separate platform for each one of these methods is costly and inefficient. It's really impractical more than anything. So it's critical that merchants are meeting their customers at their preferred point of purchase without sacrificing efficiencies, customer experience, customer conversion rates, or other merchant processes just in general. So when customers are ready to buy, our merchants need to be there to meet them, because if they're not, somebody else will be. AFS can provide any or all of these payment methods to a software developer's platform through Apex Connect in a quick and efficient way, enhancing not only the merchant experience, but the software developer's offering as well to any of their customers or prospects.
Yeah, that's good stuff, John.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it on that positive note there. So, John, Don, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about a modern-day payment processing partner, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
That was a pleasure, Ryan. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Ryan.